Massachusetts is in a financial crisis. Monthly state revenues are down almost 16% from a year ago, with September's take about $243 million, shy of expectations. If those figures hold, Governor Patrick is expected to lay out mid-year budget cuts later this month. But Senate President Therese Murray believes the shortfall might grow even more.
That number could be a lot bigger than $243 million. That could be $500 million.
State lawmakers today hold a joint revenue hearing to go over the numbers with economists. For a preview, we visited the State House yesterday to speak with Senate President Murray, who said the growing deficit is forcing some tough choices.
I see months ahead of cuts, program elimination, layoffs, and big holes.
That's a pretty bleak assessment.
It is, but there's no other way to look at it. We've already cut over $3 to $5 billion in the last 2.5 years. So facing this other $243 million just for July, August, September, you have to figure that you're going to lose additional money in October, November, December, given the fact that people are not spending. So we're in for a very tough couple of years.
Do you think it'll take a couple of years for this to wring itself out? And I ask that question mindful that some economists say that they see signs the economy is on the rebound.
Well, that's what they tell us, and I'm hoping that's what they're going to tell us today. But state and federal governments are usually lag at least 6 months behind. So we have a ways to go, and we had stimulus money to get us through fiscal 9 and 10, and that money is pretty much gone. So we don't have the savings to bring into fiscal 11. So fiscal 11 is going to be probably worse than 10.
There are some watchdog groups and critics who say that the governor, the legislature, should not have spent down the rainy day fund the way it has in the last year, year and a half. Do you agree with that? Was there any other choice?
We were in a total free fall beginning last October. So would those critics have liked us to completely decimate the state budget and end programs and jobs then? I just don't agree with that.
You said a few things that probably are going to send chills down the backs of state workers and down the backs of city and town officials who are listening this morning in terms of the cuts that are coming. What do you think is going to happen in terms of state employee layoffs?
Well, I'm not certain. The governor, on the 15th of October, he will have to change the consensus revenue number. So once that number's set, then he will exercise his cuts, and it will be across the board, I assume, in state government. There'll be percentage, depending on the programs. If it's really significant, most likely he'll then go to the cities and towns and cut their budgets also.
You're talking about local aid.
Yes.
Can the legislature do anything more for cities and towns than it's already done? Obviously, in the last few months, it's given cities and towns the ability to raise some local taxes, the local hotel tax if they have hotels, the local meals tax if they have restaurants. Is there anything else the legislature can and should do? And even those things are considered by some cities and towns just Band-Aids.
Well, it's a big Band-Aid. If you don't have any hotels and you have one restaurant, it's not going to do you much good. So they do rely on us. There is a municipal relief bill that's presently in committee that gives some opportunities to regionalize services to cities and towns. If you look at the number of towns we have in the Commonwealth, they all have a police chief, they all have a fire chief, they all have a superintendent of schools, pretty much giving some money for the planning for that regionalization. In the long run, that will save money. And there are some other things in the package also.
In your opinion, have cities and towns across the state done enough to control their own spending, given the state's money problems?
This is going to be slow and steady with high unemployment for quite a while. So cities and towns have to figure out how they're going to survive through that, and they're going to have to do some economizing also.
There's been a lot of talk nationally in this recession about the new normal that families, that individuals are facing because of the economic hardships that they've endured during this recession. They can't spend as much on the perhaps luxuries that they had before. Maybe a two-car family becomes a one-car family. Maybe a one-car family in the city becomes a public transportation family. Maybe they don't go to private school anymore. They go to public school. Maybe they don't go out to eat as much. The new normal. Is there a new normal in state government coming out of this recession?
I think the new normal started over a year and a half ago when we saw things starting to fall and we pulled back. We've cut our budgets significantly. We're going to be moving towards cutting budgets deeper and probably having to lose some people who have been here a long time.
In terms of the social responsibility that the state has long felt, the philosophy of helping the needy that the state government in Massachusetts has long held, how's that going to be affected by what's happened in this recession? And I want to ask the question in this way. Coming out of economic hardship, there's this phrase that, well, we're just going to have to get leaner and meaner. Can the state be leaner and still compassionate?
I think so. I think there are places we can go to cut that we right now don't have in front of us. We're working on here in the Senate, taking a look at, say, all the economic development agencies that the Commonwealth has. There's too many. So I think we can go there and ask them what they actually do and maybe merge and cut back there. The legislation we did, pulling all our transportation agencies together, that will save us a lot of money. And the nonprofits, I think they could merge. There's hundreds in my own county doing the same types of services.
Casino gambling or expanded gambling in the form of slot machines at racetracks. The thought was earlier this year that there was going to be debate on that and that there would be a vote on that topic this fall. That's clearly not going to happen now. It got pushed to next year. Why did it get pushed to next year? And do you think there will be a vote? Do you think that casinos and slot machines are in our future?
I don't think it's necessarily been pushed to next year. The hearing's going to be this month. So we have three bills presently in committee. So we will be tooling and forming our own ideas on what should go into a bill. So it's going to take us a while. This is not an easy process. But there will be a hearing in October, and we'll start working on it.
Senate President's personal opinion. If we have casinos, should we also have slot machines at racetracks? If we have slot machines at racetracks, should we also have casinos? If we're going to do one, should we do both?
I support destination casinos, but that's only my own opinion.
And back to the original question, is it inevitable?
Even in this down recession, we're seeing hundreds of millions of dollars spent by our residents going to Connecticut and Rhode Island, so I think it definitely is inevitable.
Senate President Therese Murray, thank you very much for having us over to your office. We appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome.